Good morning, church. Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. We read Psalm 77, which complements Psalm 78, you will see. I will read from verses 1 to 8. This is a historical psalm. This is a very long psalm, which records the history of Israel from Egypt. The writer is Asaph, or his descendants, who were Levites and who were teachers and musicians. Psalm 78, starting at verse 1. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things from of old. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And even now as I begin to share the message, the sermon, O Lord, this vessel that you're using, Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my God and my Savior, my Redeemer. Amen. Where would our culture be without our teachers, godly teachers and parents? It's back to school. Students, parents, and teachers have just completed their first week of school. Well, 4 days, but I'm counting it as a full week. And we've survived. I've titled my message, Teachers Needed. I've divided my message into 4 parts, so to help you follow along and to see the connections that are being made. The first part of this 4-part message is the call. And right away in verse 1, we heard the teacher asking for attention. Oh, my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. This is much like what we did on Friday when we set out the principal and myself to read the Riot Act. Oh, I mean Code of Conduct. To the students, all 400 plus of them. And principal stood at the middle, I stood at the side, and I had my hand up, and the students all know that we're waiting for their attention. Verse 1 and 2, there is also a sense of urgency and time. Time is of importance. You kind of sense that. As students, still using the school analogy, we are to quit fidgeting, stop being distracted, and prepare ourselves to listen, for something of great importance is about to be shared. Asaph does not want us to miss one word of what he's about to utter. He may have even enticed us here a little bit by saying, I will utter hidden things. Who doesn't want to be in the know instead of not knowing? Because To be in the know means you now have something you can use which you never had before. And that's good. You feel empowered. Asaph reminds us that the time to listen is now and immediately. There's also a boldness in how he speaks and a resolve to keep speaking despite not having everyone's attention. The will in verse 2, when contrasted with the we will not in verse 4, speaks to his intentional commitment to finish sharing what he has started and to say it with courage. We need teachers like that. As the teacher, you feel Asaph has a lesson for his hearers that is so important that he will stop at nothing in imparting something amazing. Let's give some context here, though. The hidden things and stories Asaph is referring to are what the Israelites experienced during God's amazing deliverance of them from Egypt as slaves. His wonders performed in the wilderness, and his continued love and faithfulness, even when they were not loving and faithful. By the way, does this sound familiar? This convicted me as I was doing the sermon. Am I grateful for what God has given me, or am I always thinking, being distracted about what I would like to have, what I'd like to do next? You see, I can't blame the Israelites because I'm just like them. Asaph is about to say something that is right and just at the end of verse 2. And he tells us in verse 3, what we have heard and known what our fathers have told us. What is that? The praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, of our Lord. One of the important roles of the priests in the temple was to teach the people. That's why the Levites were kind of set aside to be used by God specifically in the temple. It's interesting to note that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 5 to 12, we won't go there. Paul used this classic story of the Israelites' unfaithfulness to warn the early Christians to be faithful. Today's pressures make it easy, though, to ignore or forget the lessons of the past. We need experienced and faithful teachers like Asaph to call attention to the lessons of the past. There's an overriding concern of the psalmist for the children to know their history and be taught. Back in the day, if you grew up here in Ontario, some of you might remember we had to recite the Lord's Prayer after we sang the Canadian National Anthem. I remember that. It was not so long ago, yet it feels like a lifetime ago. We did this right up until sometimes in the mid-80s, late 80s. I will utter things of old. I would like us to stand if you are able. This is optional. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13, and it may be up on the wall behind me. And we will just read this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Thank you very much. You may be seated. This is a call by the perfect teacher, Jesus Christ. Jesus provided a pattern, a model, to be imitated as well as to be duplicated, and we all benefited from that. Teachers are needed to utter the things of old. Are we answering the call to share and model ancient truths to the world around us, mainly to the young who so need to hear it. In a moment, a painting will be up on the wall behind me. This is a painting by the artist Henry O. Tanner. Tanner had to leave America because of the racial bigotry that existed and became a famous artist living in France in the 19th century. He's known for his many biblical themes, one of them being Daniel in the Lion's Den. The one that's before you is entitled The Thankful Poor. You know that a call had been put out before to bring the child to the table before they eat. But I want you to notice how serious the older man is in the painting. Both hands are clasped, held up, and head bowed. What humble modeling. Take note of the child, not sure as perhaps his dad or uncle or grandpa or friend. The child's head is only slightly tilted and one hand held up rather than two. The other hand hints at maybe some playfulness that's going on there as he fidgets to stabilize himself because it looks like he's sitting on a bench or a book. And the bench leans forward, again hinting at maybe he's playing around. Here the teacher is uttering things of old, and he has answered the call by putting out the call and opening his mouth to hidden things and parables, perhaps so the child could understand. Listen to this. The gatekeepers were again on four sides of the temple. When it was rebuilt, we had the east, west, north, south, all entrances leading in and out of the temple. Their brothers in their villages had to come from time to time and share duties for a 7-day period. But the four principal gatekeepers who were Levites and who were entrusted with the responsibility for the rooms and treasures of the house of God, that was their job. If we've made Jesus our king and everything in our life, then we carry that holy temple within us too. We have the responsibility of safeguarding all four entrances to our temple so we do not become corrupted. I'm reminded of Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For we know the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. 1 Peter 5:8. So as we've said before, we notice that Asaph makes the time for some instruction to be given and calls the children to pay attention during that time. In fact, he demands they stop everything and listen. This happens in the family devotional time. The children have to listen and pay attention so they can hear God's word. We might ask why. The answer simply is that lessons are to be learned so we do not fall into the same sins of those gone before. Psalm 78 illustrates what is expressed in 1 Corinthians 10:11. Chapter 10, 11. All these things happen to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. Teachers are gatekeepers of our homes. Teachers are gatekeepers of our homes. I'm going to say that again. Teachers are gatekeepers of our homes. It should be in our homes that children first hear the warnings, the testimonies of faith, and experience God's blessings. You and I decide what information comes into the home and what leaves the home. I know this is a large undertaking. Trust me. I've been there. but we have to remain intentional and unmoved. And if you don't have kids, you're not off the hook. For children do not belong to us. They belong to God. That is why the psalmist says in verse 4, their children, his children, he says, are not his own, but the children of his fathers. That is, the children of the covenant people of God who have gone before him. So not our children, but they belong to God. And we're stewards of them. We thank God for our teachers here at Faith Baptist Church and the VBS that we had a month ago. Thank God that they're educating our sons and daughters every week as we start up this new school year, whether it's Sunday school or youth or content career. I'm putting that plug out that if you're someone who are interested in young people, you love their energy, you've got something to contribute, come on out. We'll find a place for you. Speak to Pastor Robert at the end of today. Talk to me. Talk to any of the other members of our church that are here, and we'll find a role for you. I would say, though, that we can't leave this teaching to the teachers at church, to the volunteers who share these stories. As parents, uncles, aunts, grandparents, etc., we all have a role to play in pouring into the next generation. The we, in verse 4, as I see it, refers to the communion of saints alongside biological parents. We are all in this together as a community, sharing these Bible stories about truths that we must know about God if we are to grow. These stories tell of his mighty works, his praises, and his glory. They reveal our sins and God's grace over them. They warn and admonish us against falling away. They show us the way back home as the prodigal son, so we can experience real joy and peace. But we need teachers. We need gatekeepers who will stand their ground even as the foundations are crumbling. We will be resolute as Asaph and say, we will not hide them from our children. We will tell the next generation, verse 4. My grandmother certainly reminded me of the previous painting that was up there by Tanner. She had all four of her teenagers around the bed. This was probably in the 80s. She was 80-something years old. The whole new career started. And she would, you know, she'd make the call. Junior, Jared, not Jared, Ruin, Bobby, come and pray before we go to bed. And we would be, oh, Graham, wow, man, what do we got? It's 11:30. Remember, we're teenagers. It's 11:30, why are we? And we would be kneeling down there and our head kind of on our hand, and we're kind of like just moaning and groaning and just, but we did it. She did not hide the truths from her grandchildren. She did not hide it from the next generation. The praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. And here we are today, my son, the next generation who my grandmother taught us is benefiting from that. My grandmother shared these praiseworthy deeds of the Lord not because she wanted to, but she was commanded to also. Listen to verse 5. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children. And then in verse 6, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. In these verses, God not only establishes his testimony, not only gives its content to Israel, but also gives the command. God demands it of covenant parents, church. We must teach our children. God commanded that the stories of his mighty acts in Israel's history and his laws be passed on from parents to children. This shows the importance of religious education to help each generation obey God and set their hope in him. Storytelling is universal. It's as ancient as humankind. We can teach great truths by telling stories. These great truths and testimonies about God can be passed down as cultural traditions. On Passover, families of the Jewish faith celebrate the exodus from slavery in Egypt during a meal. The story of Exodus is told, an oral tradition passed down through generations. Why? To educate the young. Consider the book of Nehemiah, a time when the exiles returned from captivity and the temple walls were being rebuilt. Chapter 8 records how the people listened attentively to Ezra as he read God's word, and their lives were changed. Their faith was renewed. Verse 2 reads, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. What a blessing to have children in our sanctuary. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively as the book of the law was read. Consider still Josiah. At 26 years young, God used him to bring drastic changes to the kingdom so the kingdom could be in line with God's command. You can read this for yourselves in 2 Kings chapter 22. Hosea laments, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Think about that when you think about where we are today. Today, many people own Bibles, but few are affected by the truths found in God's word. The word of God should cause us, like Josiah, to take action immediately, to reform our lives and bring them into harmony with God's will. Please hold up your Bibles with me. How many of you believe that this is your basic instruction before leaving earth? This is an acronym. B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Repeat after me. This is my manual. My divine guidebook. And my holy curriculum. Teachers need to have a curriculum if they are to teach. For here lies the content. There's no curriculum. What are we teaching? We need teachers who are engaged with the curriculum, God's curriculum, learning from the curriculum, memorizing the content. We will be blessed by this, brothers and sisters. We will be blessed. The Bible says, "Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you or thee." Let us not make the mistake, however, that the story is all about us. Even the songs that we sing, he is the narrative, not us. His stories are worth repeating because they have ministered to us at some point in our lives. So we tell it again and again. We keep telling these stories of how God has moved in our lives. Are we willing to tell those stories? Teachers are needed. Life is not two-dimensional like a drawing. It's complex, it's deep, it's rich, it's nuanced. And it needs our stories about God's faithfulness and goodness to tell the next generation. Turn over to Psalm 105. This is a psalm about how remembering God's miracles encourages us to keep living close to him. Read the first 10 verses here. It's not about us, church. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgment he pronounced. O descendants of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembered his covenant forever and the word he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham and the oath he swore with Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. It's not about us. This psalm sustained me when I got out of ICU in 2021. I had COVID. What an experience. Many of you know my situation. It was near dire. My wife and kids hear me speak of this psalm often, Psalm 105, because it gave me great hope when I got out of ICU. This was the psalm that was sent to my wife by a friend who was praying for me abroad, and I just devoured this psalm when I got out of ICU. It's not about us. It's about him. Now, finally, we want to look at the blessings of this instruction. Some we have already mentioned. Verse 7 and 8 says, though, then they were referring to the children of the previous verse, then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. Verse 8. They would not be like their forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose heart was not loyal to God, whose spirits was not faithful to him. The aim here in verse 7 is that children might come to put their hope in God. True knowledge of God should lead to hoping and trusting him. What begins in the head goes to the heart. We teach with the goal not only of head knowledge, but of heart faith, with the goal of our young people loving the truth they learn and putting their trust in God, believing in him. The goal here is not just about the curriculum. You can know it all, explain it all, understand what the intricate details are of Reformed theology, the arguments of dispensationalism and other kinds of isms. But unless this curriculum enters the heart, and unless there is faith and hope in God, the knowledge is of no value. Even Satan has that kind of knowledge. Teachers, you are needed. You are needed to teach our children obedience. Keep his commands, not to be like their father, stubborn and rebellious. J.I. Packer, in his book Knowing God, mentions that the blessing that we have as children is the blessing of adoption and sonship. And this should steer our children and steer us into right conduct. He mentions three things that Jesus did when he was here. He imitated the Father in perfection. Christ glorified the Father, and Christ pleased the Father. These are things that we should be doing. Teaching our children has to do with how they act as well as their knowledge and feelings. If only their heads are full of knowledge of God and their lives are void of it, then they have not learned, and perhaps we have not taught them. And so the teaching of our children is important. It touches on every aspect of their being, their mind, their heart, and their behavior. Let me end by saying, you know, we do a huge injustice when we do not pass on these stories and teachings and testimonies about God to the next generation. We all pay the consequences, but they paid even more. We hear of climate change. We need a climate of change within our homes, because this one affects where the next generation will spend eternity. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for this message today. Even as I share it with the congregation, I'm preaching it to myself. Thank you for the truths and the testimonies that you have continued to give each one of us. May we be bold in sharing the truths of God with our families and our neighbors, all who's willing to hear. Thank you for this precious opportunity to be here and to share your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.